The missionary oblates of Mary Immaculate reached a milestone in the history of their congregation last week on January the 25th, namely the 200 years of their foundation. The story of the OMI begins amidst the ashes of the great upheaval of the French Revolution, which has had repercussions worldwide. It was an era when the Catholic Church in France was devastated and held in contempt and ridicule. Nevertheless, on February the 25th, 1816, in Aix-en-Provence, in southern France near Marseille, a handful of zealous priests, headed by their leader Saint Eugène de Mazenod, committed themselves to serving the lost, the least, and the last, bringing them the good news of Jesus. To know about the missionary oblates of Mary Immaculate, we talked to Sri Lankan oblate Father Shanil Jayawardhana, the Director of Communications at the Order's headquarters here in Rome. Last week, in the first part of this interview, Father Jayawardhana explained the simple but meaningful way they marked the bicentenary of their foundation in Aix-en-Provence in France on January 24th and 25th. He narrated the humble beginning of the OMI, which today has grown to almost 4,000 members in 68 countries. Originally planned for evangelizing the poor and the abandoned of Aix-en-Provence, the OMI later reached out to France and the rest of the world, making their first entry in Asia through Sri Lanka in 1847. From Sri Lanka, the OMI later spread to India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh. Today, Father Jayawardhana begins the final part of his interview, telling us about the charism of the Oblates of Mary Immaculate.
In character, basically, at heart, we are missionaries. What we are told as Oblates, to be missionaries in your own local level, in the sense, even if you are working in a parish, go to the most abandoned, go to the people who are not cared for, go to the people who are least recognized. That is one way we are stressing on. The other way is we are speaking more on our issues of justice and peace. And we have a separate general service, Justice, Peace and Integrity of Creation, JPIC. We are working with the local people, trying to empower the local people to speak for their own rights. We have a representative in the United Nations. We are proud to say that as an oblate. We are working together with some other congregations as well, together with, I think, there's a Jesuit.
Justice and peace issues.
Exactly. Justice and peace is one big area, and we are striving very hard to spread our ministry to the youth as well, because this ministry was an original ministry taken up by de Mazenod himself. So youth is another ministry that in the future we have plans to spread our reach towards the youth more and more.
Which means you also run schools?
We do run schools. If we speak about the South Asian context, we have big colleges. We have had big colleges in Sri Lanka. Probably some would argue that spirit, but I would still prefer to mention that we have the trend or the spirit of building and then giving it up for the diocese. So we have built big colleges in Sri Lanka, for an example, and then we have handed that over.
And you went ahead elsewhere.
That's right.
Now, Father, you are from Sri Lanka yourself.
Yeah.
Now, the war is not there anymore.
Yeah.
Could you give us what the OMI were doing during those years of war?
Yeah.
And now, in peace building and reconciliation especially.
Okay, so all this come under the JPIC ministry, as I told you. The Rome-based headquarters would encourage all these regions to take up their own local issues. So when it came to Sri Lanka, it was the civil war. We are two provinces, Jaffna and Colombo. One thing that we were working together...
Opposite poles.
Exactly. So one thing we were working together was on this issue, justice and peace. The priests in charge of these issues, of this area, were trying to have, you know, communities from both sides come together to one place, even though they are not known to the other one's language, somehow to communicate the language of love. And it was a success. We can also remember at this moment the late Father Thissa Balasurya, OMI, who strived very hard on this aspect of intercommunal reconciliation. So he is probably the pioneer among the local oblates in Sri Lanka who brought these two communities together in, you know, not huge numbers, but maybe 20 from here and there, and getting together, spent 2 weeks like that. And that was one program which was done successfully in Sri Lanka. And after the war, there was so much of displacement to which oblates worked hand in hand together, both provinces, to rebuild their lives, especially to build some houses, especially who were affected by war and also the tsunami 2004.
What various types of social work are you engaged in? Let's talk about Sri Lanka or South Asia.
It depends on each country's issue. So that's why I said its own local area. Mm. So that's what we are encouraged to do. In Sri Lanka, it was the war and reconciliation right now we are engaged in, if you talk about that area. If I speak about Bangladesh, it would be the tribal people, their issues, the injustices that happened to them that we are engaged in. In India, of course, I think in each region, has got their own issues, social issues.
With regard to works of mercy, especially during this year of mercy with Pope Francis, stressing so much on acts of mercy, going out and being with the poor, I believe that is very much in tune with what your congregation motto is about and your founder's spirit is about.
In fact, it was the grace of God. We thought it was really grace that in the year we celebrate our 200th anniversary, the Pope came up with this year of mercy. And before that, he came up with this beautiful document, Laudato Si, because everything is connected to our charism. Our charism to the poor, to the most abandoned, to love them, to go towards them, not waiting for them to come to us. So his year of mercy reminded us our own charism, our own roots, what Demesnet, what God wanted us in and through Demesnet. So we are working very hard in this line. I would say even these celebrations, we were attuned to in a very simple manner, definitely with the inspiration and guidance of Pope Francis himself. Father Superior General, Father Louis Lugan, requested each region, each local province to celebrate, not with much pomp and glory, but to celebrate with the people in a very simple manner, getting into the spirit and heart of the founder. So I think his invitation was inspired by the Pope and his year of mercy.
Ministering to prisoners, is it one of your strong points of your congregation?
I would not say that as a strong point around the world. In some countries, yes. For example, in Sri Lanka, we have a chaplain for prisoners. We oblates do that, but not in many countries.
Now, a great missionary character of your congregation has been quite a number of martyrs that you have produced, especially in Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
Could you talk about that? I mean, how did you go into that area, which was for many years under communism, under war? Tell us something about that area.
The first group of people who come to my mind is the martyrs of Laos. Of course, they were not only oblates, there were others who were martyred during that time.
Locals, yes.
Locals. But these missionaries, especially who went from France, including Father Mario Borsaga, who was an Italian. They knowingly the danger that there was for their lives, knowingly very well that this is not the safest place in the world, they still persevered. They still wanted to work for the people, to be with the people. That was something very great. And that's what I said, that the founder always demanded this type of a courageous heart from the oblates. It was he himself was not an easygoing person. He was hard on himself as well. So he demanded from his first companions as well. That is the first group of people who come to my mind, the oblates in Laos who were martyred. Hopefully in the near future, let's hope and pray that they will be beatified. The second country that come to my mind is the Philippines, where so many oblates, at least 4 or 5 oblates were martyred, were killed. One name to be mentioned especially is Bishop Benjamin the Jesus, who was killed, especially our working with the poor, the area in Mindanao, this Cotabato Island and all that. Another personality that I should mention is Father Michael Rodrigo, OMI, who was killed in Sri Lanka for his stance he took against the poverty, the injustices of the area that he was working.
Is there any new resolution, any new plan for the coming years, in the coming decades?
Yes. We are planning more towards the issues of justice and peace, as I said. That's the line we are taking now. And more on the issues of migration, reconciliation, and youth. But the missionary focus will vary from region to region, as I said. The new evangelization that Pope himself spoke about means a lot to us, to our congregation. So we as missionaries are striving hard and have taken a step forward, and we are regenerated, let's say, to go in search of the lost sheep even further, because the sheep are getting lost more and more.
That was the final of a two-part interview with Sri Lankan Oblate of Mary Immaculate Priest Father Shanil Jayawardena on the 200 years of his congregation. This has been The Backgrounder, a weekly feature of Vatican Radio's English Service for Asia.